All right. Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for having us. Very excited to talk with you today about our program. There are no relationships for Minerva and I to disclose. So first of all, we just wanted to describe a couple of the outcomes that we're hoping from today's presentation. We want to describe our program, where it started, why we started it within a healthcare system, within a hospital system. And then we want to talk a little bit about the successes and challenges that we've had integrating this kind of program into a healthcare system. We'll talk with you a little bit about how we aligned the program with our strategic goals of our system, so that it wasn't something that just started and then was kind of phased out or fizzled out, but it really contributes to the business plan of the healthcare system, and demonstrate the significance of the CHA program in the context of health reform. So just to give you a little bit of background and context, Steward Healthcare System is in Massachusetts. Right here in Boston, we have two hospitals, but we also have another 8 community hospitals and a long-term rehab hospital. We were formed in 2010, a few years after Massachusetts adopted the signature health reform law of 2006 that significantly expanded Medicaid access in the state and also established our Health Connector, which is our state-run insurance exchange program, which became the model for the exchange programs that are being implemented under federal health reform. So in that context, Steward hospitals and their communities serve a lot of the patients that are accessing these programs, Medicaid and the Health Connector. All of our hospitals actually are in some of the poorest areas of the state. We have, if you're not familiar with Massachusetts geography, we've got hospitals in Dorchester, and in Brockton and Methuen, which is right near Lawrence, and these are heavily populated urban areas where there's a lot of issues going on. And so all of our hospitals except for one are actually disproportionate share hospitals. We have a high number of Medicaid and Medicare patients coming to our hospitals. So it's very important for us to make sure that our patients are insured for their own benefit, but also so that our hospitals can stay afloat. In Massachusetts, this data is from 2010. If you look at the top line, you'd see that 4.2% of Massachusetts residents are uninsured. You think, yeah, that's great. We did a great job, and we did. But when you start to break it down and you look at these different buckets, those who are in the labor force but unemployed have a rate of 15.7% uninsured. And then those who have not, who've worked but less than full-time or year-round in the past 12 months are at 7.8%. So just despite the overall rate being low, we've still found that there are pockets of folks, and especially immigrant populations, that have not accessed health insurance and are uncovered. So what did that mean for our hospitals? That meant that patients were coming to our hospitals uninsured and coming through our emergency room, and that the hospital bill that was incurred was not getting covered. So we started to look at what is going on. It's called bad debt. When a hospital thinks that, you know, they're going to get paid for something, they send out a bill and it doesn't get paid for, it becomes bad debt. So we looked at our bad debt and we said, what's going on with this patient population? Where do they live? Up there in the left, we did a kind of a neighborhood hot spotting, if you will. And then on the right, we broke it down by age. We looked at zip codes. Where are the most, where's the highest concentration of these patients living? And then over here, it's hard to see, and I apologize for that, but we broke it down by bad debt concentration of language and found that, you know, English was the most prevalent language. But beyond that, there were a couple of key languages per hospital that were, these patients were coming to our hospitals uninsured. And so that was really informative for us, and it kind of set the foundation for the Community Health Advocate Program. Once we knew a little bit more about what was going on, we were able to pilot the program. And so we started at two of our hospitals, Holy Family and Good Samaritan, and we hired one community health advocate per hospital that had the language skills that matched that highest language. And that also was from the community and understood Brockton and Methuen and Lawrence and the areas that we were serving. And so what they did is after the patients who came to the emergency room, they would typically start an application for Medicaid right there in the emergency room, but then they would be lost to follow-up because before the CHA program, there was no one to help them complete the application. And for those of you who've done the application, it's not easy. You've got to get proof of income. You've got to get proof of your residency together. You've got to get proof of your identification. And for folks who are in different situations, this can present a lot of challenges. So what the CHAs have done is followed up with those patients, reached out to them, gone out to their homes, taken snapshots of the different verifications that are needed, and closed the loop so that patients actually obtain health insurance. And then through an infrastructure and capacity building grant from the Massachusetts Executive Office of Health and Human Services, we were able to hire a community health advocate supervisor for each of these sites that would follow up with the newly insured patients and make sure that they were connected to primary care, make sure that they had a home for their care, whether it was a health center or one of our primary care physicians. So because of our success in being able to help patients get insurance, help the emergency room bills to get covered, we've been able to expand this program to 6 of our hospitals, and these are the different languages that we currently have represented on our team. So now I'm going to let Minerva speak a little bit. She's actually one of the community health advocate supervisors, and speak a little bit about kind of the day-to-day work and challenges and integration with the patient financial access department.
Good morning. The community health advocates, the workflow, we get the patients from the emergency room. They come to the emergency room because they're sick, they don't have health insurance, they don't have a primary care physician, a relationship with a doctor that they can go to, and they go there, they try to do the application for Medicaid. Sometimes the patient is very ill or is not in good condition to do an application at that point, or they start the application and it's not completed. That's where our work comes in. We try to reach those patients within the 10 days window, which is the 10 days that Medicaid could go back and pay for that emergency room visit. As we get them, we try to contact them. The first thing we do is we send a letter, because we try to get all the resources to try to get them. We send a letter. We call them immediately. If we get a reach to them, if we reach them, we schedule an appointment for a home visit. Sometimes the patient doesn't feel quite comfortable in a community health advocate going to their home, but we schedule an appointment at the hospital. But most of the time we go to their homes because they're ill, they're sick, and sometimes they don't have transportation to go to the hospital. We go there, we do the application, we walk them through the process. We just not drop them right there after we do the application. We walk them through the process, which is a very complex process. Try to gather verifications, proof of income. We deal with a large numbers of undocumented immigrants. And sometimes they think that they're not eligible for anything, that they don't deserve anything. But they do. They need to be healthy too. They are in our communities. So we explain to them that they can apply. They will not get their services or the coverage, the health coverage that a citizen or a permanent legal resident will get, but they will get health coverage. They are our community clinics, health clinics in the area that can they can get connected to a primary care doctor. So we help them do the application. We walk them through the process, like I said, and then we try to connect them to a primary care doctor. Sometimes when we go to their homes, they are recently released from the emergency room. They get a prescription. They don't have any money. They don't have insurance to pay for that prescription. We now have a program that we provide them with a little card that they can go to the pharmacy and get up to 80% discount and the prescription that they will need to get. So those are very hard to reach patients. Sometimes we don't get to them, and they go back to the emergency. They come back. Some of them do not provide an address, a real address, because they're afraid. So we cannot get them, but we try to, the most we can to get those patients to get enrolled into health insurance, health coverage. Since the implementation of in 2012 of the program, we have enrolled close to 1,600 individuals into health insurance. But that's not counting the extended families. When we go to a home, the extended family is there, and they also need health insurance, health coverage, and we end up doing 5 and 6 applications and following up with probably 7 people in the family. The community health advocates are culturally appropriate to conduct outreach in the community. They know the language, they are from the community, they know the community, they are trusted individual, and they can speed up the process of connecting them to primary care, those who are newly enrolled. We all know that each community is unique, and the community health advocates, they have the skills to work with that, with each population. They know their own language. They know some cultural issues that may prevent them from getting health coverage. We experience that. We might think that since the health reform that everybody is insured, well, it's not true. Not everybody is insured since 2006, I think, that they implemented that new program. A large amount of patients, they do not know that there could be subsidized health insurance, that they can apply to get health coverage. Even people who are citizens, not just undocumented immigrants, they do not know that they could be eligible for health coverage. We have learned that patient satisfaction is very rewarding. Patients are very satisfied at the end because they get connected, they get health insurance, they get connected to a primary care doctor that they could have a relationship, so when they get sick, they could go back to them, they can call them, and that can minimize the emergency room's visits. Also, the patients get paid for those individuals who go to the emergency room and incur in a debt. So if those applications are done within the 10 days window, the state will pay for that. How have we expanded? Well, Kate mentioned the expansion. We have 2 community health workers at each hospital, which is a great success. And we are in the process of implementing a standardized training. We know that community health advocates and community health workers, they come with a vast experience and skills, but sometimes they need little training to be up to date and to learn some of the health issues that are causing our patients to go back to the hospital. We are in the process of certifying the community health workers in the new HICS program, which is the Health Integrated Exchange, I think, system. So they will be able to know the process of those applications, which are very complex. I don't know if you have heard in the news, there are many issues. Right now, they have to have an email address. Some people are not computer experienced. They don't have access to a computer. So we need to instruct them in how to create an email address and then to create an account to be able to go into the system to do the application. We have to help them to go through the process. So we are training our community health advocates to learn that process from head to toe, so they could be able to help the patients. We are also expanding the child roles trying to coach them and to train them in the health issues that our communities are getting those health issues that have higher incidence, so they could be better navigators to those patients in the system. Where are we now? So now it's Gates.
Thank you. So just to kind of put this in the context of health reform, you know, Massachusetts in some ways kind of did go first in the country, but we are, as Minerva said, having to relearn a new system, the HICS system, which is coming out January 1, because now all of our state programs have to become aligned with federal regulations. So that's another big challenge and undertaking. And there are new populations in Massachusetts that will receive coverage and different types of coverage under federal health reform. So we found that, as Minerva mentioned, despite the fact that there's universal health coverage, folks are still going to be unaware. They're not going to be able to access these programs very easily, and that this is going to continue to be a vital role. I mean, you can look at our history, you know, coming six, seven years after health reform, and we're actually expanding our program across our hospital system. So the importance of co-locating folks to be able to do outreach where people are coming for their care, I think, is really important in the context of national health reform. And then being able to do that outreach component so that it's not just when someone comes into the hospital, but it's afterwards when that episode of care is over that we make sure that we connect them back to the healthcare system. And then finally, a couple of new things that we're doing in the context of lowering healthcare costs and coordinating care. Steward Healthcare System actually has, one of our programs is an accountable care organization. We have 50,000 Medicare members that we care for and manage their health as one of the pioneer ACOs that CMS had designated to see if this accountable care thing would work. And so these folks, these Medicare enrollees, they have teams of pharmacists, social workers, nurse care managers, and lots of analysts looking at their health and interacting with them in a different way because they're part of the ACO. And what we've started to do is look at how can CHWs play a role in that care team. Some of the social workers will actually call me and say, you know, I've got this situation with this patient. It's either a language thing or it's a peer support, or can someone just go with them to their appointments because they are not able to relay back to me what went on at that appointment. And so we've been able to actually receive referrals from the social workers, send out our CHAs, and we're hoping to do is track that to total medical expenditure and really make a case for integrating community health workers into ACO care teams. So that's some of the exciting things that we're doing. And then, you know, the ultimate result is improving the health outcomes for these patients. So I think we're saving questions for the end, but thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.